Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
Seth will be with us in a little bit because we had to make some room for our great friend, Madison Rafter, from the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
How are things going over at the shop?
Good. Busy. Yeah, season. I mean, it's summertime, so we are in full swing.
We'll get into some of the other details and going on over there, and I want to talk about Bark in the Park and everything, but who is our Pet of the Week?
Our Pet of the Week this week is Bourbon. Bourbon is a 12-year-old hound mix. He actually came to the shelter as a stray, so we don't have a lot of history about him. He is just a phenomenal, sweet old hound. He just loves people, he loves other dogs, and he really just wants to be wrapped up in a blanket sitting next to you, and that's his life. Bourbon did come into us, and we did get him up to date on vaccines, microchipped and neutered. He also came into us with some pretty atrocious teeth. His entire back teeth were just black and falling out of his head practically.
Oh, no.
So he did have a dental as well, and they did remove 11 teeth. So his mouth now feels a lot better now that he got that dental done. But he is just an absolute sweet old hound, and he just wants a retirement home for the rest of his years that he has to come.
It's a gift that you're giving to yourself with a dog like that. I can picture him. I can feel like him in the room. Just dogs like that are a different soul, a different thing. That's very, very cool. It's a nice feature when we can highlight these older dogs.
Yep, and I love those seniors. Like, they will always have a soft spot in my heart. Like, again, puppies, I love them. Don't get me wrong, but it's those seniors that always just have that soft spot.
And they have such a, you know, for one, certainly, obviously potty trained and all these things, and they usually come into a household with a kind of a almost preset set of, you know, things in built into them and everything, and which is always a gift and a little easier for some families, especially retired families out there that we always encourage to look into adoption. But there's a character, a personality to them that is defined, and I enjoy.
Yep. I mean, they've got their, with them being older, they've got their personality set, so they're like, it's about finding their quirks too. So especially the old ones, like, you take them home, you get to be excited about them, and it's like, oh, I get to learn all your little things. Like my little hairless kid at home, I took him home at the age of 6, and now he's 10. He's weird. He likes his blankets. He doesn't like fireworks. He's very particular. His favorite word in the world is car ride. Why? Not sure, but he loves it. So he's got his little quirks, and it's one of those things that those seniors, they've kind of already got their personality set, but they always can learn new tricks and new routines, but it's fun finding their little quirks on how they fit into your family.
One of the shelters I was working at in DeKalb, I always seem to be the weird dogs always seem to come to me and always seem to like me, and I say to one of the people there, like, I don't know why these dogs always seem to come to me. He's like, you really, you don't know why? Like, you, like, everybody in this place, the weird dogs come to you always. You have no idea why, James. I realized right after that. You mentioned Bourbon, and I had during Katrina, when that happened, we fostered a bunch of animals from New Orleans, and one of the first animals we had brought in was a little baby, I think it was a pug named Bourbon. I can't even see a drink of bourbon and not think of that dog. It's such a great memory.
It's a good name for a pet.
It is. It's a good one.
I mean, he's an old soul, so we were trying to figure out names for him, and we were just kind of going off of different whiskeys and stuff, and then we were like, you know what? Bourbon's just a good, solid name.
It's good. Madison, you mentioned it's kitten season. Are there things that you guys could use over there that we can help out with?
Yeah, so highest needs right now are actually towels and blankets. Mm. We are slimming by with it being kitten season. We have ringworm kittens right now, so sadly it is a one use and throw away because of the aspect of disease transmission. So we are in high need of blankets and towels right now, and we can always use kitten wet food, we can always use cat litter, and we can always use any supplies. We are always grateful for all of the donations that are dropped off, but those are at least our highest needs.
Speaking of donations and things that you guys are taking in, you're taking in some shoes.
Yes, so we have a fundraiser that we're working with an organization out of Florida for disaster relief. We are trying to get 100 bags. Our goal right now is we are sitting at 22 bags that we have filled so far. Mm-hmm. So we still have to get quite a few to get going up to the 100. Mm-hmm. But we are taking in gently used shoes, you name it, snow boots. You're talking about flip-flops, any sort of shoes. Hey dudes, Crocs, you name it. As long as there's no tears in them and they're just gently used, we can accept them. I've got a bunch of pairs of heels in the shelter right now, so we take any kind of shoe right now.
If we want to drop those off, is there a drop-off location?
Or? Yeah, so we actually do have the shelter. There are a couple businesses in the area, like Bow Wow Meow, that is doing drop-offs for our shoes as well. But otherwise, we have bins outside of the shelter that if we are closed on a day, those can still be dropped off outside the door.
Oh, nice.
We're speaking with Madison Rafter, Executive Director over at the Southland County Humane Society, and you guys have, we all have a big one coming up in July. July 12th, Bark in the Park, over at the Wisconsin Rapids Rafter Stadium at Witter Field. Gonna be a fun one.
Oh, we're excited for it. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of great events coming up for it. We're doing some different things this year with it, so we're very, very excited. We got some bingo. We got a groomers competition, we're really, really excited for it.
There's Independent Day dress-up contest for personal pets. I like that. But the groomer wars.
Yes.
That's interesting. I like that. That's a fun idea.
So it's definitely going to be a little bit of a friendly competition for all of our groomers in the area to be able to bring in a dog, do a grooming presentation, and then the people will be able to vote to be able to see who is the best groomer of that. So it's a really fun little event that we're really excited for and a good friendly competition for advertising for our local businesses in the area as well.
Absolutely. Nice. I think when it comes to our pets, that nobody is more underappreciated than people in shelters.
Yep.
First and foremost, the work that you guys do. But right after you guys are groomers, like I right there with that. I love the idea of being able to highlight our groomers, being able to highlight local businesses, and the fun of the competition of this. Like, if reality TV has shown us one thing, people love competitions. So it's fun. It's fun.
I think it'll be really good, especially because it'll be really good with the community. People that have support those businesses can come out and see all the different styles of groomers. So I think it'll be a really, really good event, and we're excited for it.
Cannot wait. Bark in the Park, July 12th, over at Winter Field with our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. You can hear that game, of course, right here. You may be able to hear. You'll hear the dogs, I'm sure. You'll hear the dogs and everything. But that's we encourage you to always get to the ballpark. You got to get there for that day.
Bring your dog.
Yes. Bring your furry friend down there to the ballpark. Game starts at 6:35. We'll meet you down there, everybody. And again, Current Technology showing up as they are a sponsor for that day. And that's a good one. Want to mention them and thank our friends at Current Technology. Sponsoring this segment as well. So we got to meet Bourbon. We got to talk to Madison. Always fun way to start off our Thursday show. Madison, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about things at the Humane Society or ways that they can help out or make an impact or anything, what do you suggest? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can check out our website for information if it's about volunteering, donations, our hours, any of our available pets. Otherwise, they can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com or give us a call over at 715-423-0505.
Always good to see you, Madison. We appreciate you and your team over there. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks for having me.
Find out about Bourbon and much more at the Southwick County Humane Society's website, swchs.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. We'll be back with more Morning Show at WFHR right after this. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. We hope you're having a good Thursday out there. Big shout out to our friend Madison Rafter from the Southwick County Humane Society, letting us know about Bourbon, talking with her about Bourbon. That was great. I got distracted because I was waiting for the keyboard. Gets me every time.
James just suddenly became 2D in black and white. I'm not sure what happened.
Yes, and I'm trying to break through, but I can't. But there's a lovely young lady there trying to help me break through the screen, and I can't. Still, when they talk about groundbreaking music videos, that video still comes up. It still comes up. I think that is so unique and cool, considering so many bad music videos came in the 80s.
That time, yeah.
I think the worst music videos in history happened in the 80s, easily.
Oh, yeah.
But some of the most revolutionary videos happened in the 80s as well.
But if you look back, when were most of the videos made?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, that had to be the time where there were the most good and the most bad.
They were all hamsters back. We're all guinea pigs, I mean, just testing this out and figuring out the new technology.
The hair metal bands. Man.
Yeah.
Those videos were like the weirdest and the worst. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I'm so thankful that that was not my thing. And I don't have to look back at myself with like a bunch of like straightened hairspray hair and spandex and yeah. That was not me. Getting into a little bit of entertainment talk right now. Is Steven Spielberg going to reboot Indiana Jones? Harrison Ford has made it crystal clear that he is done playing Indiana Jones, and if the recent box office has shown us anything, the audience is done with it too. And I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying that as a fact, and not something I'm not something I like saying. By the way, I'm a big Indiana Jones fan, even bigger than Han Solo. I liked Indiana Jones, and that's tough for me to say as a Star Wars kid. but how I've always felt, and in an interview with one of the not always reliable British tabloids, Steven Spielberg said, quote, "Pretty sure the franchise will continue." I don't actually believe he said this. For one, if you've ever listened to Steven Spielberg talk, which I have done a lot in my life, I look up to the guy, he doesn't say things like "pretty sure." Like, Steven, this is not the way he talks. It's not his lingo. It's not his dialogue. I don't actually believe he's ever said that in his life. I don't think so. I don't think, like, 8-year-old Steven Spielberg talked any differently than the adult Steven Spielberg.
He's been very, very precise his entire life.
He really has.
First of all, I don't believe he has much control over that. It's owned by Disney now. Lucasfilm is owned by Disney. It's their decision.
They may ask his opinion.
Right.
They may ask him to produce.
Yeah.
But they ain't going to Steven about much of anything when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And if Disney can reboot something, they will reboot it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they think they can make a buck, absolutely.
At any possible angle that they can do something different with it, if you need any proof, look at every single live action animation or live action thing that has been
that they're doing with their from their animations.
Yeah.
Not one of these has done well. Not the Lion King, not the Little Mermaid. Like, none of them have done that great in the box office. But I'm going to keep pumping them out. We're going to keep doing them. We're gonna keep waiting for the. They got the live action Dalmatians movie they did. I'm
Aladdin.
Waiting. Yeah. I mean, it's all coming. They're all going to happen.
What do they have left? The Sword in the Stone. Have fun with that, guys. No,
Jungle Book.
And, of course, here's where the internet explodes. He suggested it could be a woman who carries it forward. Quote, "We'd have to change the name from Jones to Joan, but there would be nothing wrong with that."
Wait.
Why would they do that?
Why would they change his last name?
Yeah.
This is tabloid news, I think.
Very much so.
So tabloid news.
Yes.
But I will say that, again, Disney's already thought of this.
Like,
The tabloids can get on this all they want. Disney's already thought of it. I don't know if they're going to do it, but because of what just happened over the weekend. And actually, we're really going to find out over this weekend how Indiana Jones is going to do.
Yeah.
That's what Disney and everybody's holding their pearls on and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pearls, yeah.
Really hoping they're also hoping the same thing for the new Flash movie. Seth and I are going to get into this on Director's Cut, but what happened to the summer blockbuster? And is that gone?
Yeah, is that not a thing anymore?
It hasn't come back since the pandemic. Mm. And even before that, there were some, kind of, we'll get into this more on Director's Cut this Sunday, but I'm very curious to see where things go from here out.
Well, if the temperatures keep high like they are, people are going to need an escape. And getting coming to a theater during the day when it's super hot. They just need to start having during the day movies on a regular basis.
Look, I'll pay $90 to just see this horrible movie. Just let me in the air conditioning.
Please.
And I think it should be India Jones. Not Indiana Joan. That's dumb.
Well, that's what I was going to go.
Yeah, why change the last name?
What state do we have to change it now? What state are we going to name this person after? The new Jones archaeologist.
Maine Jones,
yeah. California Jones.
It's not a state, but I like Albuquerque Jones.
I'm
surprised you didn't say Sheboygan.
Sheboygan Jones.
I was going to save it for last. Sheboygan Jones. There you go. You're welcome, Hollywood. You're welcome.
Illinois would actually work pretty good.
Illinois wouldn't be bad. I like the idea of Sheboygan Jones, but all of her adventures happen in Wisconsin.
All of them.
Same action, same drama, same intensity, but all in Wisconsin.
All in the Midwest. All in the Midwest.
We have some pretty dense forests here.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the jungle, but...
Heck, you could make a whole episode on the house, our movie on the House on the Rock.
Like the Wolf River that's got some rapids.
Yeah. Hey, all you need to do is go up to the North Shore of Minnesota, of Lake Superior, and you go to Castle Danger.
There is
a town. There's nothing in Castle Danger, but there's a town named Castle Danger on the North Shore, and that'd be a great title for a movie. I always thought Castle Danger, Minnesota would be a great title for a movie. Nothing would happen in it, but it would. There's like a diner there. I think that's it.
Oh, but the drama.
The Castle Danger Diner.
Will her order be correct?
Yes, exactly.
Tom Cruise is inspired that Harrison Ford is still going so strong. He says, quote, Harrison Ford is a legend. I look up to him. I hope to be still going. I've got 20 years to catch up with him. I hope to keep making Mission Impossible films until I'm at his age.
Oh, no.
Tom turned 61 on Monday and Harrison Ford turns 81 next week on the 13th.
Oh, wow.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 comes out July 12th. So I actually think that this is a humbling moment for Tom Cruise, where I don't know many times, if ever, I've heard him compliment another actor. Like in interviews, if he's doing a movie with an actor, he will compliment that actor
right.
in the interview. He'll say, oh, me and Penelope Cruz worked really good together or something like that. He is, for as much ego as he is a team player. I haven't heard, you've seen a lot of actors continue to work with him over the years that love working with him. Tom is also a loyal guy when it comes to these actors. Ving Rhames has not necessarily gotten a lot of work in the recent years, but Tom will continue to put him in the Mission Impossible movies. Like, he does this kind of thing. So for every shot you want to take at him, which I will go with you full-fledged, Ron, I will lead the list on that. I think you also have to give credit where it's due. It's not, yeah. you got to yeah. give the full picture here. I find it very shocking to hear him talk so highly of another actor. I wanted to make sure I was correct on this. So I went my homework and I looked into this and a lot of his old interviews and that. Granted, I didn't do a huge deep dive into this, but I did a pretty deep dive into his career looking into this, and he has never done this before. So I think it says something about Harrison Ford and the mutual respect that he has in the industry. I think that's pretty cool. I think it's also just maybe, my goodness, is Tom Cruise like growing? Is he growing as a
finally
person?
In his 60s?
Is at 61, is Tom finally growing up a little bit, huh? Good on you, Tommy. Good on you. And by the way, I would call him Tommy if I was ever on a set with him, just to see his reaction. I just want to see his reaction.
Well, James, of course, was saying growing up metaphorically there because Tom can't grow anymore. So. And I think that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons why he's got this chip on his shoulder, you know, which is apparently weighing him down and not allowing him to grow anymore. Yes, so, yes. You know, but. Oh, that's so, it's too easy, though. That was too easy.
He is so begrudging about that. I've thought for a long time that one of the Mission Impossible movies should be him and Aaron Rodgers facing off of who has a bigger chip on their shoulder about their height. Just a face-off of those two at a diner, just going one off on it. Like, no, I'm taller. No, I'm taller.
I have a question. How many Mission Impossible movies are there?
Ooh, this is, I think, like the 7th or 8th. And, okay. And it's a two-parter. I believe that, you know, there will be another one, too, after
okay.
that.
Okay. So I have a slightly different take on this than you guys.
Okay.
You're talking about him actually growing as a person, metaphorically. He's already had however many of these. And how many Indiana Jones are there? There's four, right?
Five now.
The
latest
one, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he already has more movies in his series than that. He wants to keep doing this for another, whatever, 20 years. That doesn't sound to me like looking up to another actor. That sounds like I'm gonna do way better than him. I'm gonna still be making these movies, my action movies, for another 20 years. I'm gonna get 10 more of them. And I mean, you should have said Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
It's a good point.
That's a good one. Yeah.
He just wants, and this is me being totally judgmental, but Harrison Ford's fame.
Yes, yes.
Because I think he is so much more looked up to as an actor. Mm-hmm. I mean. He is my first movie crush, him and Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. And I think I stopped liking or watching Mission Impossible movies after the second one.
Yeah.
I might have watched the third one.
I've only seen the first. I've never seen
one
after.
And I have no desire to watch any of the rest of them.
I have seen all of them, and you are missing nothing. If you like action movies and you'd like seeing explosions and all that, sure, go ahead and see them. But there's nothing dialogue-wise. There's nothing like, well,
I want substance.
Right. And that's missing in those movies.
Yeah.
I will say, I think it was the third or the fourth one. Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it, and it's one of his last roles. That was worth watching. That was a good one. That was the best one in the series. And yes, for that alone, just seeing Philip Seymour Hoffman as a bad guy, he was so good. He was such a good actor.
Any Mission Impossible without Peter Graves just doesn't do it for me. Just doesn't do it for me, man. I got to have my Peter Graves.
Well, let's go ahead and get to break. But before we do, want to remind you, as far as entertainment goes, there ain't much better on the radio dial than Rafter Baseball, baby.
Woo-hoo!
Rafters are live and direct tonight right here on this radio station. They're going to be over in Lakeshore, so you can catch them right here if you don't happen to be in that neck of the woods. 6:20, our pregame will kick off. This is a two-game series against Lakeshore. We're going to be up there for both of these games today and tomorrow. Both games will be a 6:20 pregame. Join Kevin, join Joey, join us here at WFHR all season long with the boys this summer as Rafter Baseball plays out on his radio. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll be back with more fun coming up on The Morning Show. WFHR. I keep turning my mic off. Yeah. It's good morning music. Yeah.
Calming.
Let's ease into this here. Let's ease into the segment. Move in here. Yeah. Cindy Lopp. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. WFHR. No, it's Heart.
It's Heart.
It's Heart. Why do they think? Oh, I was thinking of True Colors.
That's right.
I was thinking
very
of
similar
Colors
opening. Though,
they are actually a little similar. I never caught that before. I apologize to the wonderful ladies of Heart. Please forgive me. We got to get into this one, gang. It is a fun one. If you haven't heard, AI is coming for everyone's jobs, apparently, and we're all going to be out of work and all this blah, blah, blah. Along with Y2K. That's still happening, too.
Let's just run around outside and flail our
hands. Yes, there you go. Yeah.
I believe that is what they are suggesting. I believe that's what they're suggesting, to run around.
Everybody panic!
Yes.
A new poll found that in 100 years, most of us think it'll be seen as the top thing that changed how we live and work. The internet is second, and then smartphones. Here's the main question people were asked, though.
100 years. 100 years?
Mm. Wow.
You think there's not going to be any more changes in 100?
Nope, there won't be.
Yeah.
Not at all, Melissa.
All
right. Nope.
Continue, sorry.
No, I think it's a fair point. Most people say yes. People were given a list of 30 different things and asked if they think AI will be better at them than we are a decade from now. So the top things we think AI will crush us at by then are translating stuff into different languages.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Predicting the weather. And providing tech support. Spoiler alert, everybody. Technology already does this stuff.
A lot of it already.
Yeah, to some degree.
Not very well.
I mean, to some degree.
But, as far as the tech support thing goes, though.
Oh, yeah.
You got to word it right.
Oh,
as referenced by my long, drawn-out story this morning on WIRI. Mm-hmm. If you don't word it right, they won't even acknowledge that you said anything.
Right. Right. Well, and we've already seen some stories about problems running into this. There is a eating disorder hotline recently that had an issue with this. They had an automated thing that answered and that started telling people extremely bad things.
The opposite of what
they were calling in for like eating disorders. Very
That's not okay.
No. And this is the kind of stuff we're going to start running into. That's why I think the techs are, I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
So to both of your points, but for of the 30 things they asked about, there are 16 things that people think will still be better at by the year 2033.
Okay.
And I always ask you guys start at the top or the bottom, but I'm going to go to the bottom here if you don't mind, because number 16 is customer service.
There you go. Yep. I think that's totally true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because how many of us call in and get a computer and just mash zero until we get a person?
Exactly.
For me, with my phone company, representative. Mm-hmm. I just keep shouting it over and over and
until
over.
Until they finally will just then
yep.
send you to a real person.
But I'm not mad at tech on this.
No.
How can technology get it right when we don't get it right?
Right.
Exactly. Like,
the computers, again, AI computers, no matter what we're talking about, are only as smart as the people working them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The information we're putting
in.
We put it in.
We're not scared of AI. We're scared of us.
That's it.
Think about it.
That's accurate.
It's true. Very true. Very true.
Number 15, driving. Again, we still haven't perfected this.
I was going to say. Oh, man.
Well, let's get ours down. Let's get this down ourselves before we start worrying about AI taking things over.
Where did we get the idea that we were good drivers?
Yeah.
We're not.
No, we're
terrible. People are terrible. All the distractions, everything like that. I don't think people were made to travel at the speeds we do in a car like that. I just don't think we can, and you know, we've gotten better as we've, you know, like quote unquote evolved or whatever, but how many people die every year in accidents? Come on.
No, and it's not just us distracting ourselves, it's highway signs.
Yep.
I mean, how many of them are TV screens now?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Your phone, everything else going on. Yeah.
Windshield wipers.
Whoa, hypnotized.
They get me. Yeah. Writing news articles.
No.
No. How could you get, miss facts without that? Performing surgery. 27% think AI will be better at that in the next 10 years. So a very small amount, but still an amount.
Okay, yeah. I think it will be helpful, very, very helpful in assisting.
Yes.
Surgery and that stuff like
that's
that.
That's accurate.
But I don't think you can take the human element away.
No,
I don't think
you can take the human element away because suddenly you've got AI in charge of the surgery and this one is... And now I'm going to try to think like a robot for a second. So bear with me on this, all right? So we're elbows in to this surgery, and it's going to take 8 hours longer than predicted. Well, cost-effective analysis, not worth it. You're done.
Ooh.
Yep. Yep.
Ooh, that's brutal.
That's an extremely good point, and I love the idea of a surgeon saying elbows deep. I love that. I just piggybacking off of that point, Melissa, ask any surgeon, and I've talked to doctors before about this. We've interviewed on Morning Magazine and this about that, and I've talked on air, off air about this. You go into almost every surgery in history. You go in, you got a game plan, this happens.
Well, everybody is different inside. I mean, everybody's heart is in a slightly different location.
Yep.
It's not. Yeah.
Looking ahead at this list, one thing I don't see on here, improvisation. AI cannot improv. Mm-mm. And I'm not talking about like improv groups or something like that. I mean, you know, they will always, technology doesn't even want to steal that job. there will be nothing left in 100 years but AI running everything and improv groups. Yeah. That's all that'll be left.
In the middle of the surgery and suddenly they go into liver failure. Well, that's not on the itinerary for this, so.
Yeah, no, no.
You can't do every contingency. I know the goal for AI is that you get to that point, but man, how? How do you get, anyway.
So I'm going to combine a couple here, if you don't mind, sensitivity. They have at number 11, writing TV shows. At number 9, writing music. At number 7, writing poetry. At number 6, writing novels. You get the gist.
Yeah.
Which is never the point of doing any of those things. Mm-mm. It's not about... writing it.
It's not about just putting out content.
It's art.
Right.
There's a reason people do it. Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to be finding that out soon here with the lack of writers in them.
Yep.
And it's not okay.
I will say, though, I wonder if you're George R. R. Martin and you still haven't finished that last Game of Thrones book, if you're thinking, like, maybe AI can help me out. Maybe, I don't know. It's worth a shot.
Maybe that's why the TV series ended the way it did.
Yeah, nice.
Wow. Ooh, that burn. Was
good. God,
burn.
I wish we could go to break right on that. That was a good one. That was
mic
good.
Drop.
Oh, that was good. Choosing job candidates.
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
They're already having issues with that because a lot of companies, to be able to get your resume in front of a real person, you have to write it to pass the AI. So there's now there's like certain things that you got to, okay, if you don't include this, if you don't include this, you're never going to get through the first round of a selection because you have to pass the computer analysis first.
I just realized something too, and I didn't think about it when I was doing a little homework on this last night. None of us would be here. So with these AI, they've tried this out in other countries in Europe or other cities in Europe, and the AI system will not hire anybody that doesn't have a previous job experience. None of us worked in radio before this gig. So none of us would be here. That's pretty wild.
And something else to consider. I mean, we found out the problem, you know, and we're talking all of this has to do with what you're putting into it.
Right.
All of
I know where you're going.
People's inherent biases are being put into these things.
Facial recognition doesn't work for everybody.
For different skin tones.
No.
Yeah, exactly, because of how they're programmed. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I mean, this is a huge problem.
About it is, and it's something that they're running into already with these computers trying to pick the best candidates. They have that inherent bias already written in there.
Yep.
Cooking.
Oh, no. Yeah, humans will always be better at that. Yeah, come on now.
Now, if it's a robot taking the fries out of the fryer, sure.
Yeah.
At the right time, right?
Yeah, I think they could totally manage that.
Oh, yeah, you put it on a timer.
There you go,
Yeah. I love the idea of all of, like you touched on it earlier, Mel, assistants, a surgical assistant.
Accepted, and I agree. Sorry. Yeah, that's okay, but... Giving me credit for something he did, I'm great with that.
I hate you.
No, I think that's a very well taken point. The assistant part of that.
I think that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I actually think, you know. That
well, because how many people want to do some of these jobs anyway that we're so worried about losing? Well, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but for a job that pays $12 an hour? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better than 10, but it's still not a living wage.
I keep thinking of trusting your food to something you can't taste.
Except that we're talking the specific thing was French fries, meaning fast food.
Right, yeah.
That has all been very scientifically modified and it's all very regimented. There's no changing that as a chef. Right?
Well, we were talking about, again, we're going back to Monday. Everyone should really listen to Monday's show, The Kitchen's Open, because it was a really fun discussion. But other than that, we're talking about combination foods. You know, certain things should go good together, but doesn't mean they will go good together.
True.
Because you've got not just flavor, you've got texture. Sure, you've got all these different things that come into play. And yeah, I know there's scientific cooks out there that, you know, are very big into the, you know, the molecular structure of food and that kind of stuff. But
no,
I
just
don't see
the human
happen.
Element
you
for do? That.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I think robots could run a McDonald's? Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, with one human overlord? Absolutely.
That's a switch. The robot overlord.
Making complex ethical decisions. You were touching on this before.
There you go.
One of you.
It's going to blanket statement now from now on.
But that's again, coming back to the surgery and what do I do here? Cost efficiently. This doesn't work. Person dies.
Yeah, there you go.
Being a therapist, only 16% think AI will be better than us at this in 10 years.
No, like you said, with the call in for the food disorders and quickly turning to, it was another thing that came out with, what is it, ChatGPT or Bing? There was something that came out with that where they suddenly turned very
completely
dark, very
inappropriate,
fast.
I'm
calling because I'm suicidal. Well, you should just kill yourself.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're walking into with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't do that.
Caring for kids and the elderly came in at number one.
No.
Yep. Only 12% of us think that AI will be better at that.
I think there's a whole library of science fiction stories and novels about kids being raised by robots that are just horrible.
Hang on a second, everybody. Ray Bradbury's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wrote that one. Yeah, like several stories on that. Yeah.
What I find funny about that, and I bring that one of the greatest authors of sci-fi ever up for a reason. Ray Bradbury was doing these stories in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly.
Yes, all of this has been referenced in science
fiction.
We've
worried about this for 40, 50 years.
Right.
Why, like, I understand that there's a resurgence with it because of the tech and how high how intrusive some things have become and some of this and everything. I don't know. You can go ahead and play this back 5-10 years from now and put it right in my face. I'm not worried about this. I'm worried about childcare. I'm worried about I'm worried about actual things that are actually affecting people right now.
At the moment, yeah.
I'm not worrying about a theory that people have 5-10 years down the line when we've got people right now suffering. Mm-hmm. I'd like to put a little more focus on that. It's like I don't know, the idea of worrying about bringing in people from out of state when you got people in state that are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe focus on your residents and the people that voted you into office mm-hmm. instead of maybe worrying about bringing in people from Florida or something like that.
Yeah.
I digress. We go to break. Coming up, more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. That was a good conversation, guys.
Yeah, that was great.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. You can lean on us. Heck, that's one of the only things I'm good for with my shoulders and height. I mean, you can lean on me anytime you need.
I think I'd knock you over.
I'm pretty sturdy. For a thin guy, pretty sturdy. I'm like a telephone pole, like a scarecrow,
solid platform.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes,
yeah.
Time for us to get into a That Ain't Right story, and this is a doozy. Imagine doing this and getting pulled over on your drive home. I swear, officer, I haven't been drinking. The newest dumb life hack from TikTok is to pour beer all over yourself to get a better tan. Some influencer posted and I don't know about anybody else, but I cannot say the word influencer without air quotes.
Yeah.
I literally can't say that without doing air quotes to it.
You just hear my eyes rolling. Yeah.
Some influencer posted a video by a pool where she pours beer on her legs and rubs it in like lotion. It's supposed to give you a deeper, darker tan. And then actually in some half-baked science, behind it.
Jeez.
The hops in beer can supposedly promote the production of melatonin, the stuff that gives your skin a pigment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of
how you
say that.
You have more of it than the rest of us. Just shush.
In general, they nicely done. In general, the more you have, the darker your skin. It's not a total new idea either. They found a blog post from 5 years ago where someone claimed it worked, but skincare experts are warning people not to do it. They say you'll probably just end up with a wicked burn.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Even if you apply sunblock first, the beer could wash it away. Burns can happen in 10 minutes, and 95% of melanomas are caused by too much UV exposure.
Exactly.
The fact that beer is sticky is another downside. You'll be a magnet for bugs, including beer and bees and mosquitoes.
Yep. Because of the sugar. The sugar in beer, yeah.
One expert who heard about the hack put it like this, quote, "I can barely believe this insanely exists."
I can.
It sounds like insanity. I have a hard time believing that people still lay out in the sun and suntan. Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer.
Yep.
It also can be very deadly.
It can be.
I've never understood this about people. Like, I've never understood why they use the term colored when white people are the ones that change colors. You get a bruise, you get black and blue. You get out in the sun too long, you turn red. Like, that seems like more colorful to me than a person who stays the same color. I don't know. But I also never understood this idea of for decades and centuries, there's this difference of people and everything. And it all comes down to the simplest and dumbest of reasons: skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
This weird little thing that's in your body. Yep.
And yet you have a portion of society that wants to change skin tone, that wants to turn into darker and everything.
It happened all across the colors of people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody has been trying to. And I was one of those as well. I mean, it's a societal thing for us here. I mean, we see these golden, beautiful, tanned, fit people scantily clad and want to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember one April when I was probably 12. No, 13. I was 13. 14. I was 14. Mm. And it's like, oh, we've hit 50 degrees. Put on my shorts and go sit in the sun. Like, what idiot would do that? I mean, me, but... It was so ingrained into us that's what makes you pretty.
I will say, I think a lot of this is the opposites or the other side of the lawn looking greener time, too, because I know tons of ethnic people in my life that wish they had straight hair, that wish they had lighter skin, that would give anything.
The grass is always greener,
especially my African-American friends that have dealt with quite a bit of stress, you know, would give anything to be mocha instead of dark, just because of the difference of, we talked about this when Barack was elected. I don't think Barack gets elected if he's even a dash darker.
Right.
Mm. I'm sorry. I don't know if he would have. It's a weird world, people.
Well, yeah. And what society presses on us for as far as what looks good and what looks pretty. Look back into Victorian era. Women were constantly covered in parasols and weren't out in the sun at all because being pasty, pale white was a sign of wealth and importance because you didn't have to work. You didn't have to be out in the sun.
Exactly.
And now we're the opposite.
And now it's all
sun,
about the
please. I want to be tan. Oh, but wait, it kills you.
I almost guarantee that this all started from a guy who spilled beer on himself, but didn't want to admit it. That he meant to spill it on himself.
Yeah, you think it was a guy?
Tan stuff.
I think it was a girl.
Yeah,
okay. You think so?
Yeah. I can see that.
There's something about these these things that we talk about, and we get them on the show relatively, frequently, is that they'll find something that has one ingredient in it that can do something else.
Right.
And then they say, well, then it must be good for this, you know? Let's see. Propylene glycol has the same viscosity as blood. I'm going to replace my blood with radiator fluid. It's much more efficient,
And cheaper.
I had really hoped that we had hit the wall during the pandemic with this when you've got people thinking bleach will get rid of COVID. Like, I thought that was the worst. I thought that was as far as we were going to go with this whole thing. But
keep coming, man.
Don't hold your breath.
Oh, yeah. Human beings. You'll
never disappoint us
never
in that.
Disappoint.
Never disappoint
Cease
us.
To amaze.
Yeah. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some local good stories of
How
the day.
How about lunch by the river?
Sounds good.
That's today from 11:30 to 1. You can head on down and enjoy a taste of Wisconsin Rapids. Just remember that some of the vendors don't take credit cards, so bring cash. Each week is sponsored by a different business, and I believe James has more information about that.
We want to thank Enbridge Energy Company, the exclusive entertainment sponsor, who is bringing in Steve Strassman. Steve's great, wonderful local artist. And the event sponsor, Marshfield Clinic Health Systems. Big thank you to them as well, of course, sponsoring this. Big shout out to the food that's going to be down there, Jamaican Kitchens, Rocker Rococo, Hawaiian Plate Lunch, Chatterbox.
Nice.
All fan or friends.
Good stuff.
I haven't tried Hawaiian Plate Lunch yet, though. I gotta
I've heard
get
it's
over
good.
There.
Yeah.
I have had it. It is awesome. Yeah. And well, Melissa can do this. She was in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It's very authentic.
Ooh.
Very authentic.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Just like when we were in Hawaii. Man, not that Melissa
not
and I were
together,
in Hawaii
we were
together.
Not. That
no.
was weird.
The
I love it.
Can I do one quick shout out to the, because the farmer's market's today too, from till 2 o'clock. And I'm just going to do this because I told a joke on Over the Back Fence and I want to tell it again. So I was like, when I left, the place was already filling up, come to work on Saturday, coming to Over the Back Fence. And I was like, you know what? It's like the doctor said, after he hit his patient on the knee, the joint's jumping. So you want to go on down to the farmer's market and get until they sell out of their stuff. So, I had to tell that joke again.
It was worth the playback. It was worth the playback. Get to lunch by the river. Get to lunch by the river. Get to
the farmer's market.
Taking all these great local events.
Yeah.
I go to both of them.
They're so close. Yeah, they're so close to each other. Yeah.
You get a nice walk over the bridge.
Yeah.
I love that walk.
Lovely
over the
day
bridge.
Today. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Nice day out.
Shout out to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Chamber of Commerce as well. You can find out more by going to wisconsinrapidschamber.com. Seth, we also wanted to tell them about this great event the United Way is doing.
Yeah, that's right. Registration for Stuff the Desk is continuing. It's going till August 3rd. And since I can't believe we're in July already, you need to really get over there and sign up for this. Everybody go to their website, uwswac.org, and click the Stuff the Desk banner for that. You can call 211 Monday through Friday between 8 and 5 p.m., 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. And so the event itself will be on August 18th and 19th. That's my birthday. At East Junior High School, located at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
He likes pie.
Now, the reason
Get him pie
for my birthday. Yeah, like, I want to see lots of pies. Just as you know that you actually pick a time or you'll be assigned a time during those days, they will have walk-ins, but they will only be accepted on August 19th between 10 and 10:30, and supplies are not guaranteed. That's why we're encouraging everyone.
Sign up.
Sign up, please, before all the slots are filled.
Bark in the Park is coming up on July 12th. Meet us over at Wisconsin Rapids Witter Field with your rafters. It's going to be a fun one. Cannot wait. Mm-hmm. We are talking with our good friend Madison Rafter, and she's a good story of the day, too, our friends at the Humane Society. Big thank you to them for being here. This is going to be a fun event. Mm-hmm. We cannot wait for this.
At the Groomer Wars. I think that sounds great.
So cool. Groomer so Wars. Cool. And we do encourage you to find out about our Pet of the Week, Bourbon, and much more at the Humane Society's website, swchs.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well, and we'll meet you on July 12th at Winterfield for Bark in the Park. I wanted to make sure to mention this as well, because I had two good, really good stories here to wrap up on. A 90-year-old woman in Texas named Melba Mibane just retired after working at the same Dillard's department store for 74 years.
Oh, wow.
74?
She started in 1949 as an elevator operator and eventually switched to cosmetics. In 74 years, she never called in. This woman is my hero. Yeah.
Wow.
I love
That's
this lady.
Awesome.
Check this out, everybody. Listen to her talk for herself here.
I loved everybody there, and I loved to go to work every day.
She is the happiest, most up person, gives so much service to the community. She's made so many friends. I would come watch her in cosmetics and just go, I wish I could be like that.
I didn't know I had so many friends.
And fans. Wow.
Wow, that is so cool. Aww.
I love her accent, and I love that.
That was a great story.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you guys for being a good story, and thank you to the listeners out there. We appreciate you. Check out Trail Tunes tonight from 7 to 8 on WIRI.
Don't miss it. Roy Rogers anniversary tonight, so some Roy Rogers tunes.
Yeah, be sure to check that out and join us tomorrow morning over at WIRI for the Sunrise Show from 7 to 8. We'll be back here from 8 to 10 at WFHR, locally grown radio. I keep grabbing the wrong mouse.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.